Welcome tonight, everyone. It's a blessing to see you all. Another Wednesday night prayer meeting. This is our sixth Wednesday night prayer meeting, I believe. And so we're going online. Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
Yes, online. Yes,
Wednesday night prayer meeting, our ninth week in lockdown. We're going strong. The word of God is not stunted. We are not going forward. And it's my pleasure tonight to welcome Pastor Noah Washington again. Pastor Washington, can I just say I absolutely love your t-shirt right now. Thank you. If you know what's happening in America, you will appreciate his t-shirt. Thank you so much for speaking to us tonight. Really appreciate your presence. Let us just start with a small word of prayer and then over to Pastor Washington. Let us pray. Our wonderful Father in heaven, Lord, as we have spoken just earlier before, there's so much to give you thanks for. There's so much going on around us, but we know the one who holds the world, who holds time, who holds everything in your hands, Lord. And so we come to you with all our petitions, all our cares, all our worries, and we just leave them at your feet. As we fellowship tonight, Lord, I pray that it doesn't, that it takes root into each heart and that it flourish and it nurtures us and it shines light out of us so that others can be seen and heard. I pray that you put a special blessing on Pastor Washington as he puts himself in the position to speak your words, Lord. Touch him with a special blessing. May your Holy Spirit be in the presence of our worship this evening. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, as usual, I'm going to mute everyone so we don't get any feedback. And over to you, Pastor Washington.
Hey, good. I think it's evening. I was going to say good afternoon, but good evening to everybody. And just a privilege to be back again. I told Nicole, the good elder, you know, I would be open to coming and sharing again. And she said, you need to come back next week then. I didn't know it was going to be so soon, but it's always a privilege to share with the people of God. And I had intended to go one direction, and then by yesterday, the Lord took me in another direction. I basically want to talk tonight about preparation. And the reason being, she alluded to it earlier, I always knew, or I felt in my spirit that once this pandemic hit, there was going to be a time when the bans are going to get lifted. In fact, another state just announced just today that they are lifting the stay-at-home orders this Friday. They're going into phase one. Many of the states in this country have already started to open up. So I knew this day was coming. I always knew that once they put these mandates on, that, you know, at some point in time, stuff would get opened back up. My concern, though, my spiritual concern, if I can put it that way, was not necessarily in what would happen once states got opened back up and people started going back outside. My concern spiritually was, how would the people of God be? Would we return or go back from this pandemic the same way that we went into it? Would there be a change? Are we closer to God? Are we further away from God? That whole thing. And so I want to talk today about preparation in a very interesting way. I don't have necessarily a text of scripture I want to anchor on tonight because of the large breadth of scripture that I'm going to be going over. But if I can highlight, I want to highlight chapters 40 and 41 in the book of Genesis. In chapters 40 and 41, we find Joseph, who has been literally stolen from his homeland and brought to the land of Egypt. The Bible says that he is a slave, but he's in the house and he's working there in the house. And then one particular day, based on false charges, he gets put in prison. And while he's put in prison, the Bible says he meets two individuals. He meets a cupbearer and a baker. And on one occasion in prison, these two brothers had a dream. And they woke up distressed, and Joseph communicates with them and says, hey guys, what's going on? They give him, share with him rather, what's going on. But he said, we don't know how to interpret what we've been given. And Joseph's response to them, I love this. He says, man, don't dreams belong to the Lord? And so he asks, he inquires of the Lord, and the Lord by revelation gives these two men the interpretation of their dream. And he says to one of them, he says, listen, man, when you get out though, please don't forget me. Well, you've read the Bible before. You know that when he gets out, he was just so excited to be out, he forgot to name Joseph. And Joseph stays in prison even longer. While he's in prison, the Bible says that Pharaoh is given a dream. And if you are familiar with the trajectory of the story, you know by now that Joseph is very familiar with dreams. Joseph started, the Bible says, started getting dreams when he was 17 years old. So he is well acquainted that dreams not only come from God, but the interpretation of the dreams come from God as well. One particular time when Joseph is in prison, Pharaoh is given a dream. And Pharaoh, the Bible says, looks around the land to try to find someone who can bring interpretation to this dream. They couldn't find nobody. And it's just then that they say, oh, wait a minute. There's a brother in prison who gave interpretation of my dream. I suspect he can do the same thing for you. They bring Joseph out of prison and he interprets this dream for the king, for Pharaoh. Now, what's interesting is Pharaoh is given this dream about the fact that there will be 7 years of abundance and 7 years of famine in Egypt. And he gives the Pharaoh, listen, the interpretation of we're about to have 7 great years of abundance, and then we're going to go into 7 great years of famine. And you know the story. Joseph's recommendation is, man, you need to find somebody that's been given leadership so that in the years of plenty, we can save and stock up so that in the years of famine, we can preserve ourselves. And so the Bible says, this is so interesting to me, the Bible says that the famine in Egypt was so severe that they literally forgot the 7 years of plenty. This is so crazy. I don't know if you've ever been experienced where you went through a great season in life, but the season that came after the great season was so bad, you forgot how good things were. I suspect that's where people are right now. They forgot how it was to even enjoy going outside. Going outside is not the same way anymore. I don't know what restrictions are in the UK, but there are tons of restrictions over here. And the Bible says that the 7 years of famine were so devastating and so unbelievable that they forgot the years of plenty. Here's where I want to go tonight and where I want to share the lion's share of what I was led to share with you tonight. It's evident to me that when I read scripture, God always sends preparation before he sends devastation. There's never been a time, at least when I read in scripture, where before something negative or bad happens, that there is not a season of preparation. Now, the interesting thing is, there are some things that catch us by surprise, but nothing ever catches God by surprise. And even though it catches us by surprise, it does not mean that God did not send preparation. If you're like me, sometimes you actually miss out on the preparation that he sends. Sometimes God may say, send preparation through a sermon. Sometimes he may send preparation through a song. Sometimes he may send preparation through another person. Sometimes he'll send preparation through a child. And sometimes, and this is one of the worst ones, sometimes God will send you a word of preparation even through somebody you don't like. And one of the crazy things about it is, man, I don't know if you've ever been in an experience where you have people in your sphere, in your circle, people that you don't like, but what they tell you is the gospel truth. But because I don't like the person, I may not care about the person, then I'll say, oh, that can't be God because I don't like that person. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so God has a million and one ways. God is never, he always sits in abundance. God never sits in lack looking for ways to do anything. And so God always sends preparation before he sends devastation. There is always preparation. And I don't care what way you slice it. Most of the times, we miss the moments of preparation. And I want to suggest today that how I respond to devastation is a direct reflection on how well I prepare. In other words, how did I prepare for what was coming? Now, I want to suggest tonight then that preparation is one of heaven's best gifts. Preparation is something that God gives us in order to get ready for, in order to assume the position of, in order to get ready for what is coming. And when devastation comes, devastation can also be a season of preparation because, man, if you think about it, it has never been the same season for an entire year. In other words, seasons change. It's never been one season for the entire year. That's how I knew that this pandemic was going to shift. Trouble, there's an old song that we used to love to sing called Trouble Don't Last Always. There's never been a one season for the entire year. And for the people of God, how we act or react when this season is over is a direct reflection on how we're preparing for it now. In other words, the question I really want to press and push to your minds tonight is, how well have you been preparing for the next season? How well have you been spiritually preparing when this pandemic is over, when things begin to lift, when churches do reopen, rather the buildings rather reopen? How well have you been preparing? How much have you been preparing for the next season of your life? And I wanna say this. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but man, God is always up to something in your life. He is always up to something. We do not serve a boring God. God is not dull. He's always up to something. And I want to suggest further, God is always preparing you for what's next. And that's really the question. I had a staff meeting today at my church. That's really the question that rests on so many of our hearts as people of God. Man, what's next? What's coming after this season is over? Is this an appetizer for something huge that's coming next? Was God doing this just for me, to sit me down, to slow me down because I was such in a rat race and 24/7 just running and running that I could not sit down and hear God? I don't know about you, but for me, I can only speak myself. Man, even though I love and I thrive off of interaction with other people, this pandemic has probably been one of the best things that's ever happened in my life. I am constantly on the go, and I was looking actually at my personal calendar at the beginning of this year, and I was looking at the calendar, and all I could do after looking at the calendar was shake my head and say, man, this is going to be a busy year. This is going to be a busy year of traveling and a busy year of doing this and doing that. I don't know when I'm going to get a break. I don't know when I'm going to be able to slow down and sit down. And before I even heard of how big this thing was, God was like, no, I know you make plans, but I got a plan too. And my plan is to shut the entire world down this year. God said, that's my plan. I know y'all had great plans. And the crazy thing about it is, I don't know if this caught fire over in London, but like this is the year 2020. So it's almost like every church, every leadership team for this year They looked at this as the year of vision, 2020 vision. Yes. We're going to see things we've never seen before. We're going to have greater blessings and anointing from God. This is a year of vision. And God said, I'm going to make sure you all see all right. Y'all going to see everything that I'm trying to do. I'm going to shut the whole world down. Nobody's going out. Nobody's coming in. Everybody's just going to sit down and take a rest. But because seasons change, we are actually, as I'm watching the news, as I'm watching what's going on, we are actually, in my humble opinion, on the edge of a different season. We're on the edge of a different season. We're on the edge of a season where things are not totally, but starting to go back to the way they were. And for the people of God should never want to go backward. We should always want to go forward. And so the question then tonight is, and then we're going to pray, then how can I be better prepared for my next season? If preparation is one of heaven's greatest gifts, how can I be prepared? How can I make sure that when the next season comes, I don't get caught off guard? And I told someone, one of the things that I don't want to do, one of the things I really don't want to do as a spiritual leader is I don't want to be so anxious to go into the next season that I miss what God is saying in this season. Like, I don't want to be so excited or excitable about what's next that I miss out on what's now. And I believe God, there are some specific things that God wants to say to us right now that we won't be able to hear him in the next season. And the next season, we'll get back to our jobs, the 9-to-5 again, and all this hustle and all this going back to the rat race again, and the noise of the world is going to once again cloud our thoughts. And for some of us, man, we have heard God in this season like we never have before, or we never have in years, because for the first time in a long time, God has sat everyone down and allowed us the opportunity to listen to him in a more specific way. The question is, did we take full advantage of this opportunity, or are we complaining? Were we complaining the whole time? Man, I can't wait till this thing is over. I can't wait to get back to church. I can't wait to go back to my job, who's not paying me what I'm worth in the first place. I can't wait to get back to how everything was. Were we so driven to do that we missed moments in this season where we could have thanked God more, or spent more time with our families, or just done things. Man, I was talking to somebody the other day and was saying, man, y'all been complaining, man, I'm so sick and tired of waking up early to go to work. Well, you ain't got to do that now. And now people are complaining. Man, you can never, and it's evident in scripture, you can never make the people of God fully happy. God gives you this, and then you want this. God gives you that, and then you want this over here. And so I'm just going to give you 5 things on how you can be better prepared, how you can go into the next season better prepared. And here they are. Number one, structure your devotional life. So as people of God, if you are a follower of the Lord, if you claim to be a believer, if you claim to be a Christian, someone ought to come to you at any time and ask you, what are you reading? What does God have you reading right now? What does God have you studying right now? What is your devotional life like? Like, as someone who claims to be connected with God, you should be able to articulate what your devotional life is like. As a believer, if somebody says, Samantha, what is your devotional life like? And your response is, I read the Sabbath school lesson and... As a believer, somebody who claims to talk with the Lord, you should be able to articulate what your devotional life is like. So I'm saying preparation includes maybe I need to restructure what I do when I connect with God, or maybe I need to start from, maybe I don't have one. Maybe I don't have one at all. Maybe I need to be honest with myself and say, man, you know, I really don't have a devotional life. I really don't have a way I connect with the Lord. And I would argue, you know, I've had a devotional life, but even in this pandemic, the Spirit has been pushing me to restructure how we connect. And that change has been one of the biggest blessings, you know, in my life. But as a believer, I want to make this point very clear. As a believer, someone should be able to come and ask you, what do you do for your devotional time? And you should be able to respond and say, I do this, I read this, I pray about this, I spend some time in intercession. So preparation includes structure or restructuring your devotional life. Number two, preparation, how can you can be better prepared? Deepen your prayer life. Now, this is, we just started a young adult Bible study at my church. And one of the things that they, this was them, not me. They said, man, we want to study about prayer. We want to just listen, go through the word and talk about prayer. Because if you do not have a prayer life as a believer, it is difficult to function as a believer. Prayer is how we talk to God. Prayer is how we receive revelation from God. Prayer is when humanity and divinity meet. Prayer is when God shares with you things about your life. Prayer is when you can talk to God about things concerning your life. Like, you ought to have a prayer life. In fact, I learned, I'm saying recently, this has probably been in the last 10 years, that prayer is actually a learned behavior. Jesus was praying. The Bible says he used to wake up early in the morning to pray to his Father, and his disciples woke up and saw he wasn't in the house, and they went out and they saw him praying, and they said to him this interesting line that I just love the way that they phrased it. They said, Master, teach us how to pray. In other words, I'm assuming that they said to themselves, man, can you teach us how to really connect to God? Because how you connect to your Father and how we connect to your Father are two different things. And obviously, the way that you're doing it works, right? So prayer is actually a learned behavior, and anything you learn, you get good at by actually practicing it. So you, this is going to sound real simplistic, but it's really deep. You can't learn how to pray unless you pray. You have to be able to pray. And I could, you know, maybe I'll come back for another time and just go through a you know, kind of a series on prayer. But that, even in the last year, probably my just learning some things about prayer and how prayer works and the power that we have through prayer as believers is powerful. So deepen your prayer life. Number three, this may be one of the most difficult ones. Probably one of the most difficult ones. I don't even know if y'all want me to say this, because y'all may not want me to say nothing after I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Here's number three. Are y'all ready for it? If you're ready for it, wave at me. Number three, you ready? All right. Eliminate the unnecessary. Yeah. Eliminate the unnecessary. I've learned in my life that there are things I thought I needed, and I realized they weren't really essential. So they've been using this term here in America. I don't know if they've used it in UK. They call it, they've been using this phrase during the pandemic called essential workers. Have you heard of that? Have you heard of that phrase? They call it essential workers. In other words, only the people that need to be out, that's who we want out, essential workers. Well, in your spiritual life, there are some essential elements that you can't do without. One of them is your devotional life. One of them is prayer. Another one is prayer. But there are some things that you and I have that, if the truth be told, we want them, but we don't need them. So a couple years ago, my wife and I made a decision that I thought was going to destroy our marriage. I was like, man, I don't know if we can do this, man. This is not going to work. y'all gonna think I'm crazy. Y'all may even think I'm unspiritual, but it's what happened. She said, listen, why don't we get rid of cable? I said, oh no. See, I didn't grow up having cable. My folks didn't have money. So when I got a couple coins in my pocket, you know what I'm saying? We had cable. I wanted to watch sports, all these sports that I never could watch, I wanted to watch, until it dawned on me one day that when you buy cable, you actually are paying for stuff that you don't even watch because you just don't have time to watch them. Like, you buy this package and it gets you all these channels and you don't even have time to sit down and watch all of them. And I realized, man, after a while, I was actually wasting money because I was paying for stuff I was never going to watch. So I said, fine, we ain't got to have cable. I mean, now we got other things. You understand what I'm saying? To keep in touch and whatever. What I'm saying, though, is I had to realize, man, as we started restructuring finances or whatever case may be, there were some things that we just did not need. And as a believer, you got to ask yourself, man, is this an essential part of my spiritual DNA? And so eliminating the unnecessary people, places, or things. Eliminating the unnecessary people, places, or things. Now, when I say eliminating people, I'm not telling y'all to go out here and kill people. I'm not trying to be an accessory to no murder or nothing like that. Don't put me in that. What I'm saying is eliminating them involves they may not be a part of your inner circle. And I'm learning in my life, there are some people who may be okay in your summertime season, but when you get in the fall and winter season, they can't ride with you. When you get in those colder months, when you get into most difficult things, they were good in the summer, but they're not good in the fall and winter. And so you have to ask yourself, you know, what are my quote unquote essential workers as a Christian, as a believer, what are my essential workers? All right. Number four, this is another tough one. Practice the discipline of forgiveness. So I was thinking about this pandemic, and they were saying that I think in America we're reaching 1 million people that have died because of this pandemic. And I was thinking about I was just thinking one day about, man, how many people, you know, didn't know, you know, that last summer would have been their last summer on earth. And how many of those people that didn't know the last summer would have been their last summer on earth, how many of them had grudges with people, were upset with people, didn't get to say what they should have said. And so I know sometimes, especially in Adventism, you know, historically, and I'm coming to a close, Elder, historically we used to say, you know, during communion time, you know, we're about to take communion, and anybody that you don't have, that you got aught with, you know, go and get forgiveness with them. Well, I mean, historically, in most of our churches, we only do communion 4 times a year. But the Bible says, man, if you don't practice forgiveness, your prayers won't be heard. So I started asking people, so you telling me you only want your prayers heard 4 times a year? Like, I need too many things from God for me to hold up my blessings till the next quarter of communion. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so preparation for the next season includes forgiveness. And then the last one is this, and this goes back to what we were talking about last week. The last one is this: ask for the Holy Spirit daily. Bible says how, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more am I willing to give you the Spirit? And so restructure your devotional life, deepen your prayer life, eliminate the unnecessary, practice the discipline of forgiveness, and ask for the Spirit daily in your life. And I think these, of course, this is not an exhaustive list, but I think these are 5 things that by the grace of God, that if you lean into them and really are intentional about including them in your life, it would help to prepare you for the next season. So God bless you.
I am mute. Thank you so much, Pastor Washington, to speak to us tonight about preparedness. And that is something that has also been in my heart, that we need to be prepared for the next season. But we also, as you say, need to sit in this moment and understand what God is teaching us in this moment, so that when we do move forward, we are ready for the next season. Is it possible? I would just like to throw out a question, if possible. Do you think, as an individual, because you can only speak for yourself, do you think you have taken full advantage of this season? Do you think you've taken full advantage of this opportunity that God has given us? Arnett is shaking her head. No. No. Donna, no. Why do you think not? Why do you think not?
I think that in the beginning, mm-hmm. I was a bit terrified of what was happening. Mm-hmm. So I was more focused on that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were sending all these WhatsApps that was making me even more frightened.
Yeah.
You know, I'm one of the people that's very vulnerable to catching this disease. And I focused on it so much that it took me away from everything. I mean, at the moment, I think within the last, and I spoke to myself and said, why are you doing it now, coming to the end? But for the last 6 weeks, I can show you that I've got my Desire of Ages with my Bible. And I've been going through the book of Mark with this group, you know, this mm-hmm. Daniel group. And I've only been doing that within the last few weeks, and I could have done a lot more. And as Pastor Washington said, I had to release somebody from my life because I wanted somebody around me that loved God as much as I did. And it was like I was fighting the devil in my own home. Every time I took a step forward, they were bringing me back 5 steps. So yesterday I made a conscious decision and just said, you know what, see you later. You know, I don't want no negativity around me. You know, I need to focus. So I haven't taken the time to, but I'm going to surely continue on the path that I'm going on, because I've slid off of it and I want to get back on it and I want to stay on track. So, yeah.
Amen. Thank you for sharing, Arnett. Thank you for sharing, Arnett. And we will keep that in our prayers tonight, that we not only Arnett, but that we can all kind of keep on a track that the Lord has put us on. There's so much distractions at the moment. And as Arnett says, you get messages every day about this virus. If it's not one thing, it's the other. And that can kind of take our focus on the part that God is put us on. Anyone else would like to share? Did I just lose Pastor? Oh no, he's here. Anyone else would like to share? Do you think we have taken full advantage of this opportunity? Sister Hyacinth, is your finger up? Sorry, the screen keeps moving. Do you think we have taken full Howard, you are on mute, so go ahead.
I think I'm obviously going to speak for myself, but I think I've taken advantage, but not as much as I could have.
Uh-huh.
So as the sister said, you know, it's about focusing and taking more, but I have used it more because that I've done before, particularly mm-hmm. since I've been here. Mm-hmm. So I have used it, but not to its fullest as I could.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Sister Hyacinth. Go ahead, please, Howard.
I believe that. I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit or what, but I sort of was preparing for a war that I didn't know was coming. Mm. And I think this was it. Because in my house, I was ordering things. I was putting my life together. I was getting rid of things that was just tackling me and God. And I thought, let me get rid of it. Even look at me. I'm a DVD person. And Wilma can tell you, I've dumped a lot of them. Gotten rid of a whole lot of them. Because for me, they're just not carrying me towards God.
Yes.
Yeah, and I start trying to buy the ones that are gospel ones, and I still have a few of the older ones, but, you know, looking at my life. And then when this pandemic came in, I said to myself, what can I do?
Uh-huh.
Let God's name be known. Mm-hmm. And in my local, they started asking about people to pick up medication and drop off. And I was the first one to say, I will do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one medication. But you know something? When just in the walk, I get to talk to God. You know that kind of in your mind talking?
Yes, yes.
But I still think I could have done much better. Mm-hmm. I think some of the time when I slack off and just think, oh, I'm tired. Oh, I have to go to work tomorrow, so I'm not going to bother.
Yeah.
Those were the times when I should re-energize. We're praying for God to re-stabilize me so I can, you know. But God has been good. He has been merciful. And, you know, with what we went through in family, where mom wasn't well, Wilma wasn't well, that kind of took me back a little bit as well. Mm. Where I'd like to have been running out a little bit more to help.
Yeah.
It kind of took away. But I think I did what I could in my own house as well. So, you know, there's a lot more any one of us could do, but I did my best as I thought. But I think God knows where I'm at.
Wonderful. Thank you. If you could just add on to this, Pastor Washington, you know, everyone seemed like they're thinking, I could have done more. And so the fact that we think we could have done more, I guess that shows us that humbles us to realize that, you know, God can do, if we ask God, he can help us to do so much more.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, from a humanistic standpoint, we can always feel like, you know, that we can do more.
Yes.
But I think, you know, for the people of God, I think we usually, at least it's been our track record, our ebb and flow is based on calamity. So, you know, I'm not sure. I can't speak to UK, but I know, like, when 9/11 hit, when September 11th hit in America, when you know, pandemic like this hit in America, you know, we'll get up for it. I mean, I was at when September 11th hit. I remember being a student at Oakwood University, and church was packed on Wednesday night for like a good 7-8 weeks. And I'm talking about packed. I mean, people that I didn't even know went to the school. They packed in prayer meeting. Hey, oh man, we gotta pray. But man, you know, as things go back to normal, so does our spirituality. And God never intended, like these things that are happening that speak to things that ushering is coming, these things that are happening, they're not to get us ready. I mean, the signs are not really for the people of God. They're for the world. These, like, God never intended us to be sign and wonder driven. He did not want us to be connected to him based on signs. Mm-hmm. What stabilizes our relationship are not signs and wonders. Mm-hmm. What stabilizes our relationship is the relationship. And mm-hmm. so I think it's so easy to, when things like this happen, you know, mm-hmm. we start reading more, we start praying more. The test is, man, when we go into these, you know, to kind of go back to the scripture, when we come off of this 7 years of disaster, and we go into a more favorable season, that's when we stop praying less. That's when we don't read as much, because we go back into these routines and we say to ourselves, you know, all must be well, everything is good. And I think the problem for all of us is when things like this happen, it sobers us and makes us say, man, I got to read more, I got to study more. And then when this thing lifts, we kind of go back to business as usual.
Yes. So we just pray that the Lord will continue to sustain us to keep on more of an even keel instead of that just ebbs and
flows. Yeah, we can't, you know, and all the, you know, people of God, it's in scripture. They had these ebbs and flows.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think the ideal of what God wants for us is even when we go through these more plentiful seasons, that we still have passion in the relationship.
Yes, yes, yes. Sister Arlene, you had your hand up. Please go ahead. You wanted to share? Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Hello, everyone. I just wanted to say that when this pandemic started, it made me realize that there's something happening, and because we go out every single day, our minds is filled with the world, because we see all different kind of things every single day. So our mind was always filled with something else. And when this started, you know, something happened to me and I fell on my knees and I prayed hard, yeah? And the scriptures, we all know the scriptures, yeah? But it's only when something happens, yeah, that the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and give you all the words that you didn't even realize that you knew, yeah? And that's exactly what happened to me. I felt like I had a purpose. There is something, God has got something for me, yeah? And what happened is that a girl came into my life that was in a dark place. Mm-hmm. And I was able to bring her out into the light. And I never even knew that I could do things like this, yeah? Mm-hmm. But God has a purpose for every single one of us. Mm-hmm. It's just that we've got to listen and look for when he calls us.
Yes, thank you so much, Sister Arlene. Thank you so much. So as Pastor Washington has just spoken to us tonight about how to be prepared, the five ways we can be prepared. And as he said, you know, this list can be extended, but these are five fundamental points. They're in the comments, the chat sections, if you wanted. And I have written them down so I can ask Donna to send them out after we finish this. You know, restructuring our devotional life. He's mentioned we have time now. To kind of really explore how we are spending time with God, deepening our prayer life, opening those lines of communications with God, eliminating the unnecessary things that are clouding our judgment, clouding the time that we spend with God, and not kind of extending our spiritual life, practicing that discipline of forgiveness, opening our hearts to others and asking for the Holy Spirit daily so that, you know, the image of God can permeate and can really shine out of us to other people. So I just pray that these words that Pastor Washington has imparted on us tonight will really resonate with us, and I really hope that, you know, these things come to our mind when we hear them. We don't just have our Wednesday night prayer meeting, our Friday night worship, and our Sabbath worship, and they kind of just pass. But I really hope that, you know, these words kind of take root and they really let us re-examine ourselves and just think about what are we preparing for in the next season. So these are the questions I want to leave with you. What are we preparing for the next season? What does God have in store for us as a church and as individuals? And how can we be prepared for the next season? Are we taking full advantage at this time? And these are things I just want you to think about as we go forward. And I just thank you again for coming tonight. And we're just going to pray tonight. I'm going to ask for some prayers. You know, I always ask and everyone jumps at me. So I'll just select a few. any prayer requests, let me just write them down. Any prayer requests, please. Sorry, did I? Sister Arlene, yes, please go ahead.
Yes. Can you pray for my friend Jenna?
Jenna, okay.
Yeah, Jenna, she's just had a baby.
Okay.
And there's something wrong with the baby. So she's come out and the baby's still in hospital.
Okay, for the baby. Okay, Jenna's baby. We have Jennifer Hamilton. Okay.
Tony.
Yes. Tony, for those who don't know, has lost his wife, Rosie, recently. It was last Friday. So just keep him in prayers. Jackie Payton. Okay, I see them coming through. She is in recovery, thank God, but I pray that the recovery is going well. Anyone else? Chip. Howard, unmute yourself. I can't.
Jem and family.
Jem and family. Wonderful. Jem and family. Okay. Anyone else?
Elder Earl.
Carl, is he okay?
But no, I just leave it there. But okay, we need to have him in prayer. Yeah.
Okay, no worries. We will do that. We don't need to know. The Lord knows. Wonderful. Debbie, I'm going to put you on the spot. She's not hearing. She hasn't got her headphones on. Yes, put it on, please. I'm going to put you on the spot, Debbie. Can you hear me? Oh, the
Smithers. Young people as well, please.
Young people, okay. Yeah. Hello, Marilyn. Good evening to you. Wonderful to have you here, the Smith family. Young people, okay. Young people, okay. Wonderful. Debbie, I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you breathe a word of prayer for us?
Do you remember all these names?
No, you don't have to. The Lord knows them. But they're in the chat if you just need to refresh your mind. Sister Hyacinth, can you breathe one for us as well, please? Wonderful. And Jonette.
Okay.
And as usual, we will finish off with let the words of our mouth. So Debbie first, and Sister Hyacinth, and then Jonette. If you want to remember the names, they're in the chat.
Okay. Yeah.
And thank you so much, Pastor Washington, again, just before we go. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let us pray, everyone.
Heavenly Father, thank you once again that we can gather together on Zoom. I pray, dear Lord, that you will continue to be with each and every one of us. And I pray, dear Lord, that you remove fear and doubt from those who are fearful. I pray, dear Lord, that you will remember the government, that every decision that they make, that they will make wise decisions. And I pray, dear Lord, this virus, this injection they're talking about, that it will not come to pass. At this time, dear Lord, we ask you to remember those that are sick. We ask you, dear Lord, to remember Jennifer, Jem and Richard, Jem's family, Earl, Brother Earl, and the young lady whose baby is sick. And we ask you, dear Lord, to be with each and every one at this time, to comfort them, to just let them know that you are there for them, and that, Lord, that you will heal those that need to be healed, and that you will cover them, Lord, with your blood, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
It's frozen.
Loving Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will done on earth as it is in heaven. We want to give you thanks again for every head that is bowed or presented this evening and the prayer to give you thanks and to give you praise and to help us to recognize and to look at ourselves and to see our state in where we are with you. We thank you, God, for the message we received tonight. And we ask as we go through this week that our lives can meditate, reflect, and put in action some of the things that we need to know, we need to do, each and every one of us. In a very special way, I want to lift up to you all the names that have been called for those who are ill and for those who are bereaved family. We want to thank you and Lord to know that in every situation, regardless of what, that you're still there. We pray that each individual will recognize that, Lord, even when we are down, you're there with us. It's not only we're in the good times, but you promise that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. So help us to take hold of your words and to meditate on them. And when we're going through the valleys of sadness or whatever it is, to remember that you're there to give us the courage and the strength to go through. I pray that you will, Lord, in a special way, just every head that's bowed here tonight, that you'll help us as we continue to grow as church families, that we recognize the need, Lord, to continue to serve you, to support, to uplift each other, that all of us, when time and earth shall be no more, none of us will be missing from this. I pray for this disease that is sweeping across the world, this COVID-19. Father, you know how it came about. You know what everything about it. And I pray that you'll wipe it from the face of the earth in your time. But help those on the front line, scientists, the doctors, the nurses, all those, Lord, we just lift them up to you and particularly the government, we ask for wisdom. We ask for understanding, and they will do things that is best for the nation. Thank you for hearing us, O Lord. Thank you for your mercies and your grace. And be with us as we go through this night. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Our kind and merciful Father, I want to thank you, dear Lord, that once more we can pause collectively before your holy presence. I want to thank you, dear Jesus, for prayer, that we have this link from earth to heaven to come before you through your Holy Spirit. Lord, there are sick amongst us, and we lift up each and every one to you at this time, even those that we are not aware of, dear Father. I pray according to your will that you will touch them, Lord, and I pray that you will give them strength, give them comfort, and I pray that they will come to magnify and glorify your name for the wonderful things that you have done. Lord, we don't know what's going to happen in the next second or the next minute, but we put our trust in you. And as we've heard, dear Lord, while we have time to prepare and to pray more and to read more and to intercede more, dear Lord, and to ask you to come into our lives to strengthen us, that for the time ahead, dear Lord, what we don't know will come, we will be able to stand and doing all that we can to stand. When you shall come, Lord, we will be ready to greet you. So I pray, dear Father, at this time also for the young people. Lord, I present each and every one from every household. You know them all by name. I pray, Lord, that you will cover them and that you will protect them. We know that each and every passing day, things are getting worse on this planet. So I ask for divine protection around them and around their guardians and their parents. And help us also to continue to encourage them and to remind them that this world isn't our home. We're just passing through. And help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. And having done all to stand, dear Lord, we'll be able to hail you as our Lord and Savior. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Bless every head that's bowed, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.
You're on mute, Nicole.
You need to unmute yourself.
I would say, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for coming tonight. Pastor Washington, thank you for speaking to us tonight. It was greatly appreciated. I don't know if you're hearing me. I hope you are.
Yeah, I got you. Absolutely.
Okay. But thank you again. And I really appreciate you spending the time with us. And I will be in contact if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Oh, wonderful. Enjoy the rest of your day. I know you have the rest of the day ahead of you. So thank you very much.
No problem at all.
I'm going to stop recording.